The title of this message today is called Rediscovering Our Roots. Our roots are, you know, what really was the beginning of our church. They're our roots. They're our starting points. And I believe that for us to go back out and be involved in planting other churches is simply rediscovering our roots, why it is that we're here to begin with. Back in the early 1970s, the church where we got saved in Anchorage, Alaska, was experiencing a lot of salvations. People were coming to Christ on just a regular basis. It was actually sort of a revival. It was like the tail end of the Jesus People movement. And the pastor at that church began to pray, and he was saying, God, what do I do with all these people? There were all these people that were coming in, and they were kind of chomping at the bit to do something for the Lord. And he's like, what do I do with them? And as they spent some time praying and fasting, the Lord led him to this scripture, which I'm going to read to you right now. It's in Matthew 13, verse 36. It says, then he left the crowds, he went into the house, and his disciples came to him and saying, explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field. And he answered, the one who sows the good seed, is the Son of Man. Who is that? Jesus. So Jesus, in this parable, is like a sower. And the one who sows the good seed is Jesus, the Son of Man. The field is the world. Where is it? Our world. So Jesus is the Son of Man. He has seed, and he's walking around the world scattering seed. So what he's doing, scattering seed. So the sower is the Son of Man. The field is the world. And it says the good seed is the sons of the kingdom. Who is a son of the kingdom here today? Then you are the seed. And so Jesus takes the sons of the kingdom and sows them. Did you ever think that you were actually in a seed bag of the Lord Jesus Christ as he walks throughout the world and he grabs a handful and says, plant, plant, plant. Can you trust him for this? Can you trust him that he has a divine intention when he reaches into that bag and you happen to be in his hand and he says, plant, plant? Or are you typically one who likes where you are planted? Maybe sometimes he will move you another place. And so Dick Benjamin took this scripture as a word from the Lord. As again, it's something that God spoke to them while they were praying. And they began a process of sending people to plant a church. And over the course of maybe 15 years, they sent maybe 80 churches out of their church in Anchorage, Alaska, maybe 1,200 people altogether. And you know, because of this scripture and this prayer of those elders, it's why we're here today. You wouldn't be here today if those men had not sought the Lord and heard from him and made a decision. And so they began to sow the seed. And along came Ruth and I. We got saved in that church. And when you were part of that church back in those days, it's not that way now, but when you were in that church, the question everybody asked you is, where are you going? Because the idea was nobody was intending to stay. And that's not always good either. Where are you going? It was a move of the Lord. It was a timing of God. And so We were part of a church that went to start a church in Colorado Springs. I was not the pastor, but went as part of the team. We were part of the seed that was sown into a certain part of the world. And so we helped that church for a few years. And then I began to pray and felt like God was calling me to go. Well, where do you want us to go, Lord? And we settled on this little town, Alliance, Ohio. Felt of the Lord to come here. But as we were praying and fasting and asking the Lord, Well, what do I do? What are we supposed to do when we get there? And we were praying and fasting, just like they did in the Bible, just like the elders did at the other church in Alaska. And as I was praying, I was reading through the book of Acts a number of times, like, okay, God, speak to my heart. What is it you want us to do? And the Lord led me to this scripture and others, but this one is kind of the one that really came to life in my spirit. And it was in Acts 14, verse 21, when they had preached the word or the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and Iconium and to Antioch. Now, I was going to put a map up here, but suffice it to say that Paul, when he left Antioch, he began to go from city to city to preach the gospel. And it was one city to the next, the neighboring city, the neighboring city, the neighboring city. It was a kind of a logical sequence of preaching the gospel. And then eventually, they returned. They came back the other way. They went out this way and they came back this way. They returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, and they strengthened the souls of the disciples. So on their way out, they were preaching the gospel and they made disciples. On the way back, these disciples had gathered together into churches, communities of people who were gathering for the Lord. And he came to those places and he encouraged them and he strengthened them. He encouraged them to continue in the faith and saying that through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. And then when they had appointed elders in every church. So another thing they did in this coming back through was they had these gatherings of people in every city. They said, let's make some elders here, some leadership in these gatherings of people. And so churches were established through their efforts. And with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they believed. How many of you know that the Lord does a better job than any of us could ever do? And if you can just commit people to the Lord, let him do his work in their life. Because this seemed really strange to me that Paul would go preach the gospel and walk away. He would go and preach the gospel and leave, sometimes through persecution, sometimes just going as a missionary from place to place. But somehow, the Spirit of the Lord kept those people. And they grew and they raised up. And as they're coming back through, they were able to identify certain men as elders and say, hey, lead these flocks, lead this church, lead this group of people. And it was an amazing thing. And I felt like when these scriptures began to come to me, I said, I felt like the Lord was saying, this is kind of what I want you to do. I want you to go and not just plant one church, but multiple churches. And that was in my spirit, I believe, as a prophetic word from the Lord. And then on the day that I was ordained, there was actually a prophecy that was spoken to that effect, that when you go to Alliance, you would not just start one church, but there would be multiple churches that would be started. And so we have started one is in East Liverpool, had some fits and starts in others, but at this point, I feel like we need to do it again. It is God's calling for our church. And in a certain way, I think the terminology to plant a church is almost like a misnomer, because it's really nothing more than doing the Great Commission. The planting of a church was just a byproduct. These were people who were going out to take the good news of Jesus Christ to a city or to another city or to the next city. And as a result of their going and preaching the gospel, people got saved. And as a result of those people getting saved, they gathered together into these communities. And as a result of those communities growing up, elders were ordained. And so the churches were a natural byproduct of the church doing the Great Commission. Can you see that? In Acts 13, verse 1, if you turn there, how did it happen in the book of Acts? It says, there were in the church at Antioch. Now, Antioch was A church where Paul and Barnabas had helped to found, to get it established. It was a church that had Gentile believers for the most part. I'm sure there were others there, but it was an outreach from Jerusalem. Actually there, primarily because of the persecution. When Jesus left the first disciples there, he told them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every nation. He told them, go from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the uttermost parts of the world. That was kind of a sequential going out. But the church in Jerusalem seemed to be happy and content in Jerusalem. And they stayed in Jerusalem for a long time, longer than I think the Lord expected or desired. And so the Lord brought persecution and the church scattered. And they went then to Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world. But why is it that we have to wait till something like that happens to move us? That's how we are. But it says there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul, that's the Apostle Paul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, there's a lot to be said about spending time fasting and praying and worshiping so that we discern what it is that God wants us to do. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said. So remember, Jesus is the sower who sows the seed. And this particular sending that took place in Antioch was instituted by the Holy Spirit. It wasn't just that some guys came up with a good idea. The Holy Spirit said, separate or set apart from me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which what? I have called them. Who called them to this work? See, it wasn't a committee. It wasn't a group of people that said, we think this would be a great idea. This was something the Lord was instituting. He was reaching into his seed bag, and in that seed bag, into his hand, he picked up Paul and Barnabas, and he said, I want to scatter them. And that's what happened. The Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. There's something future, something out there. They don't see it, and maybe you don't see it, but it's something I have in mind for them to do. And then after fasting and praying, maybe they just wanted to spend some time to confirm that. I think the way the Holy Spirit spoke to them was probably through a prophetic word. There were prophets and teachers there. And maybe they spent some more time fasting and praying just to confirm this is what God wants to do. But after fasting and praying, it says they laid their hands on them and they sent them off. And so being sent out by the church in Antioch, is that what it says? By the Holy Spirit. Being sent by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. And as you begin to continue to read through those chapters in the book of Acts, you see what are called the first missionary journey, the second missionary journey, the third missionary journey of the Apostle Paul. And it happened because of what took place here in Antioch. You know, you would not have the book of Ephesus or Ephesians. You would not have the book of Galatians. You would not have the book of 1 and 2 Corinthians. You would not have the book of Romans. You would not have the book of 1 and 2 Timothy. You would not have the book of Titus. You would not have the book of 1 and 2 Thessalonians if this had not happened. Sometimes when you see ascending, you feel like, oh, I hate the fact that you're being sent because I will miss you. Well, sometimes that's true, but just think of what else is missed if there is no sending. If there was no sending, we wouldn't be here. And however many of you became saved as a result of the Alliance Christian Center or a person in this church or a friend that you have or some ministry the Lord has done in your life or through your life would not have happened unless somebody said, hey, let's send. And somebody said, here am I, Lord, send me. There's a few points I want to bring out from this scripture. The direction came during a time of worship and fasting. I would like us, maybe through the month of November here, maybe take some time and pray and fast. Just ask the Lord, help us as we set our path toward this endeavor over in Canton. We want to hear from the Holy Spirit. We don't want it to be just a plan of men. We want it to be the Lord's doing, as it was there. Another thing I want to say about this is they sent their best. Barnabas and Saul were two of the founding leaders in Antioch. And when it was time to send, they sent their best. How many of you know there's probably in every church people you would like to send? There's no one here like that. There's no one here like that. But the Lord sends good seed, right? He sends good seed. And so it's people that maybe you've interacted with, somebody who's ministered to you, somebody that you've built a relationship with, someone that you love. And the Lord is sending. And it's okay. The nice thing about it is they're not going to Zimbabwe. They're going 20 minutes away. But we have to be willing to let the best be sent. That's the way of the Lord. He sends good seed because he wants to make sure the good seed is planted in good ground and it grows to produce good fruit. Things changed in Antioch, guaranteed, when Paul and Barnabas left. Their influence was gone. They didn't have telephones, they couldn't text, couldn't send emails. When they were gone, they were gone. And whatever influence or impartation they had at the Church of Antioch was gone. You know that Antioch still existed. It did fine because the kingdom of God is not dependent upon any person. It is dependent upon the Holy Spirit and his work through people. And so when the good seed leaves, there's always going to be somebody the Lord's going to use. Things changed in Antioch, but you know where things really changed? In the whole Mediterranean world. Everything changed in the whole Mediterranean world. And all those people who came to Jesus through the Apostle Paul and Barnabas being obedient to the Great Commission. Everything changed there. It's a beautiful story. And it is somewhat a bittersweet. I want you to look at Matthew 28, verse 18. Because as I said before, I think church planting may be a misnomer because it's really a result of something. What we're really wanting to do is fulfill the Great Commission. There's only one mission for the church, and Jesus gave it back here in Matthew 28. And this is your mission, whether you go out on a church planting team or whether you stay in alliance, you're still a missionary. I'm looking right here at a church full of missionaries. You may not think of yourself as a missionary, but you are one. You have been sent by the Lord to do something in his kingdom. And sometimes missionaries are right here because you have a neighbor who doesn't know Jesus and the Lord sent you to that house to lead them to Christ. Or Bill, you were a missionary down at American Steel. The Lord gave you that job, but it wasn't just to make money. I want you to know that. It was to be a missionary. And look at the people that came to Christ as a result of that. So we're all missionaries. And some missionaries are relocated to a different spot, but many missionaries stay where they are. So don't think of yourself as being less a person in the kingdom of God because you're not going to go out on a team somewhere. You are here, you are a missionary, be a missionary. And the thing that really is odd to me that many of us will become missionaries, we will go 4,000 miles away to preach the gospel, but we won't go across the street. It doesn't cost a dime. We won't go across the street to tell our neighbor about Jesus, but we'll spend $3,000 to drive or to fly over to who knows where to tell somebody over there. The amazing thing about the world today is it's a very small world. I talk to people, not every day, but very regularly in Guatemala on my phone. And you can email people, and God is sending people here. I have some very good friends sitting right back here from Guatemala, Isaac, and from, don't tell me, what is your country? El Salvador, yeah. Guadalupe and Carolina from El Salvador. God brought them here because he wants to touch their lives. And there are hundreds and thousands of people here. And maybe you don't agree with why they're here or how they got here, but they're here. They're here. So what are we going to do? How are we going to reach them? What are we going to say to them? And that's not a statement about what's right or wrong legally. It's saying, fact is, there are people that are here. We need to reach them for Jesus Christ. God is bringing people here to us, into colleges. Kids are coming from all around the world to America to go to college here. And sometimes it's kids who are coming from nations where Christians aren't allowed to go in. But they come to us, and they're sitting maybe up here at Mount Union College, maybe over at Malone College, maybe over at some other college over there. But they're here from all around the world. But we don't want to reach them. We want to travel over to someplace else to reach them. They're right here. So you are a missionary. Every one of you is a missionary. And so in Matthew 28, this is the mission Jesus has given to the church. Jesus came and said to them, and this is after he died and was buried and rose again, right before he ascended into heaven, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore. The word is go, G-O, go. And again, sometimes the going may be in another part of the world, but sometimes the going is right across the road. It's just that we are mobilized. We are to take something that God's given us and move with it. Take it to somebody. Take the message that Christ has given you to somebody. Go. I have all authority in heaven and on earth. Go. And make disciples. Go and make disciples. We'll leave that for another day to talk about what that's all about. But it's about taking a message to people, seeing their lives change, and helping them to become true followers of Jesus Christ. That's what we're supposed to make. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Baptism is our response to Christ because of our new birth, but it's also being baptized into a fellowship, into a community of people. It says in the book of Acts that they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord added to their number daily those should be saved. He was adding people. They were being baptized. And it says they continued in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and breaking bread and prayer. And so when people came to Christ and they were baptized, they were brought into a community, a church. It became what is called churches, gatherings of God's people. And he says, teach them to observe all that I've commanded you. Well, what is the command he's just talking about right here? Go make disciples. So really, every disciple should be making disciples. So I keep that in your heart and ask God to help you produce that. So here's our plan. I believe that God is calling us, as I said before, not to start just one church, but several. Who knows how many? I don't know. More than one was the calling of the Lord upon us. So this church plant that will take place in Canton is just the first of others. It's a beginning. I'm using these terms to help describe what I feel God wants us to do. It's called cooperative, in other words, working together, regional, meaning we're going to be trying to reach people within a region, not way distant, but although God may use people there, but regional and relational. Those are the terms I want to talk about right now. What do we mean by cooperative? Well, it means we're going to have not just Alliance Christian Center helping to start a church, but maybe several churches working together. And like when the church gets started in Canton, I want you to start that church from day one thinking, we're going to start a church. We're going to take the gospel beyond these four walls, beyond this location, and start looking, start thinking. And then at some point in time, we're going to say, let's meet together and let's talk about how this new church can get started. Maybe it'll be in New Philadelphia. Maybe it'll be in Massillon. Maybe it'll be in Uniontown. Somewhere close, regional. But let's think this way. And just like there's another church, maybe there's three or four, all of us could come together and say, let's work together and plant the next church. That's what I mean by cooperative, is that we're working together to accomplish a mission. What do we mean by regional? Regional means I'm focusing primarily in Northeast Ohio, although I know that David and Susu, I mentioned before, they're planning to move in 30 years. No, maybe 5 years or 4 or 5 years, whatever, I don't know, to Ecuador. And I'm thinking, why not start a church when you go? I think that's your heart to do, something like that. You know, we're helping Hector start a church in Guatemala. So, you know, even though there are other places, we're going to try to focus regionally, at least in Northeast Ohio, and then wherever else the Lord may lead. The other thing I like about the regional idea is that churches can take place organically. What I mean by that is when we came to Alliance, it was, I will call it traumatic. It wasn't, I don't mean traumatic in a bad way, but I meant that everybody who came to be part of this church at the very beginning quit their jobs, sold their houses, left everything behind and moved to a place that nobody knew. Nobody knew anybody here. This was a place that was like, hey, let's go to Alliance. What's that? I don't know, but let's go. And so we came here. It was a cutting off of the old and coming to the new. And now we have in our church a number of people coming from Canton. They drive here. And so all we're going to do is say, hey, those of you who live there, we're going to start a church. Maybe that's where God wants you to be, and to help that church become a reality. So note, we're not asking anybody to quit their job or anybody to sell their house. It's just an organic church growth. It's happening over there. And I believe they'll find people that need Jesus. That's what you're going there for. You're going there to fulfill the Great Commission, to reach the people in your neighborhood. And the chances are that as that church gets established, people will start coming from Massillon or from who knows where, Hartville. And that might be the next spot. So just keep your eye out. Well, how is the Lord moving? How can we organically see additional churches planted? And maybe our focus might be, let's start a small group over in Massillon. Start with some people that are there, work with them, see what happens, and maybe it could be the seeds of another church. That's kind of what I think when I talk about regional. That makes sense to everybody? So it's just kind of an organic, just really responding to what we see God doing. It seems strange to me that so many people come from Canton, but I'm going to guess that there's times that maybe some of you who live in Canton have invited friends or coworkers to say, hey, why don't you come to my church? It's in Alliance. And they're saying, I'm not going to go to Alliance. And that's like Timbuktu to me. And so you find that you have that distance. It's not a big distance to you, but maybe to some people it is. So That's the plan of doing it organically. It's called regional. The other thing that's a benefit, I think, from a regional is it helps us to work together. I mean, I feel like maybe when a new church gets started, maybe they need help with evangelism, and it's only 20 minutes down the road. Why can't some people from our church go help with evangelism? Or maybe they need help with worship, and we have people we could send over there for a couple months or something, right, Madison? But there's a way that we can work together. It's cooperative and it's regional. We're not just sending a people to another place and saying, well, good luck, we'll hope you make it. We want to help them. We want to help them. And we want to work together. Biblically speaking, I see in the Bible there was a time when Paul wrote to what were called groups of churches. I think I have some scriptures there, yeah. You know, there were times that Paul wrote to the church, singular, in Corinth, or to the church at Ephesus, because maybe something was needing to be spoken to a specific church. But there were other times, and here's some samples of that, where he spoke to churches, plural, in a region, like 1 Corinthians 16:1. I directed the churches of Galatia. So he's speaking to a group, not just one, but people in an area. The churches of Asia. He talks about the churches of Macedonia, and he talks about the churches of Judea. So you can see that there are times in the Bible that God maybe addressed groups, not just one, but several. And so as we see churches start, I'm hoping that we can have that same sort of relational tie together. And there are times that God will say something specific to Alliance Christian Center, and sometimes God may say something specific to Canton, whatever it's called. But then there may be times God says to us a certain thing. So we're doing it as a regional group or family of churches. What do we mean by relational? Well, Paul, when he went around doing his mission work, he actually came back to his sending church in Antioch and reported to them what God was doing. And he was, in a sense, there was a submitted relationship. You know, it wasn't like, see you, Paul, we'll never see you again. There was a relational tie. It was a family. It's kind of like, how many of you have grandchildren? Okay, how many love those grandchildren? But they happened. Why? Because you sent somebody out of your home. Who knows the circumstances surrounding that? But you sent somebody out of your home. Something changed in your home. You know, things were different when Johnny left or when Mary left. Things were very different. But look at the blessing you got. Johnny left, and now we're sitting here, me and my wife alone. We used to have a table full of kids. Now look at us. We're sitting here trying to figure out how to cook for two people. But then all of a sudden, here comes grandbaby James and grandbaby Mary and grandbaby whatever. And you're saying, man, I'm so excited about these grandbabies, but they never would have happened if Johnny didn't leave. Or Susie or Peter or whoever it was. And that's how the Lord really designed it. He designed families that way as well. So that's why it's bittersweet. It's sad kind of when your kids leave, but then look at the blessing. And those of you who have really entered into grandparenthood, you wouldn't exchange it for anything. You're like, man, I love it. I love what's happened. Although maybe the initial was hard, it was a beautiful thing that took place. I don't know if anybody else is hot in here, but I sure am. Huh? All right. So relationally, maybe we could do a certain mission project together. Maybe we could have a marriage seminar and include both churches. Maybe there would be training opportunities that could take place. Maybe we're doing a training around evangelism. Both churches could be involved, you know, that kind of a thing. When a church first starts, you're not maybe not going to have a large dynamic youth group, but you can still come to this youth group until that youth group grows. You do now. You know, why would you just say, well, I'm now in the Canton Church. I'm not going to have anything to do with the Alliance Church. It's not what we're talking about or what we want. So if you need to bring your kids over for Shine or for youth group or whatever, do it. And the goal would be that would develop in your church. But we're relational. We're working together. We're cooperating. And we're in a region. And we're not so far away that those kinds of things can't happen. Here's some examples of relational churches in the Bible. In Philippians 2, verse 19, Paul says, I hope in the Lord to send Timothy. Why was he sending Timothy? Well, because there was a church over there that needed something that Timothy had to offer. And so he says, I'm going to send Timothy to see if he can help you. In 2 Timothy 4, Crescens has gone to Galatia. He's gone. Titus to Dalmatia. Luke alone is with me. Get Mark. Bring him with you, for he's very useful in the ministry. Tychicus, I have sent to Ephesus, and when you come, bring the cloaks. You know, so you see in that early church, there was a lot of movement. There were people going from place to place based on the need, based on maybe the gifting of a person. And one of the things that's kind of moving us this direction right now is I see the Lord has brought to our church over the last few years a lot of seasoned people who've been in the Lord for many years. I'm saying, Lord, what do you want to do with them? And maybe this is the kind of thing that can happen. There could be a church in Canton or a church in New Philadelphia or a church here or there. And there are many seasoned people who have different gifts and callings and abilities that could be used in a sort of translocal ministry. Maybe you're a person who's a gifted evangelist and that church in Canton needs help with that. Go there and spend some time and help it. You know what I mean? So there's this type of interaction. And because those churches were relational, and because Paul had a team of people who were gifted, he was able to, in a sense, direct their comings and goings as the church needed assistance. There was also sharing of resources. Paul says in Colossians 4, read my letter, and when this letter has been read among you, have it read to the church of the Laodiceans, and see that you read the letter from them as well. It happened with finances. In 1 Corinthians 16, Paul says, concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, you do it as well. So there was a time when there was a certain church in Jerusalem that was undergoing a famine. There was a need for food. So they said, hey, let's work together. Let's take up a collection for these saints. So let me speak specifically about the church in Canton. Paul Dykeshorn is going to be the pastor. Paul, would you stand? Paul is going to be I'll call it the initial pastor, because maybe within a few years he will start another church in New Philadelphia. That's the thinking right now. It's all before the Lord. That means that somebody needs to raise up and lead the church in Canton. So there's movement, there's activity, there's things that happen. But Paul will be the initial pastor. When he leaves here, we'll miss him, just like when Barnabas and Paul left Antioch. But he just lives over there. I mean, Paul, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to have you back here to preach every so often. The first public service right now, the plan is to do that on Easter Sunday this spring, April 21st. We're right now looking for a building. And what I hope to do also is to make the building we find available for a Hispanic congregation. You know, I have such a heart to reach the Hispanic people. Our church has been involved in Guatemala for a number of years, and I think that interaction has been instrumental in doing a work in my heart. But then finding out that there are so many here has said, why don't we do something for the people that are here? They're living right in our own town. They're living in Canton. They're living in Salem. They're living in Oroville. They're living in Dalton. They're living all around. God's brought them here. And so I really have a heart, and I think Susu has also, I believe the Lord brought her to be a missionary to Come over here and talk about this thing, Susu.